You mentioned earlier the winter conference, but the flagship conference, to my mind, that I always think of is the big Anglo-American that takes place in the summer and seems to attract scholars from all over the world, really. And that's done on a themed basis each year, isn't it, if I'm correct? And you get hundreds of people come in on that. Can you tell us a bit about what the current one is for this year? And what
this year, with a nod to the Olympics, our theme is Ancients and Moderns. So it's the legacy of the classical world on subsequent epochs. Mm. What did the Renaissance make of ancient civilization? What does the ancient world mean to us today? By the ancient world, we don't just mean the Hellenic, Roman, Judaic world, but we're taking in the pre-Columbian Americas and China and some of the early Islamic empires as well. Inevitably, there'll be papers and talks about the Olympics, which are hard to avoid. But yes, you're right. We've always run a conference. I think this year's is the 81st. It used to be more like the big American Historical Association conference. You know, everybody came from institutions all around the place. But about 25 years ago, we went down the thematic route, and we've done everything from race to war to environment to medicine, and next year we're doing food. It's a great gathering. It's a nice end of the academic year occasion. There's usually a book fair, a film event attached, and it is one of those events where lots of people can transact other business around the main events of the conference.
And am I right in thinking that you're now extending, in a sense, the traditional Anglo-American links? You're looking much more towards Asia as well and building links with China and Japan and other parts of Asia. Is that correct as well?
Yes, when I came into post in 2008, I felt, just as the financial world was collapsing, I felt we had to build on our historically very strong links with American and Canadian universities and begin to look east to some of the high growth education economies. Not in a predatory role, not in a predatory way, because it turned out that we were well known in Japan and China, particularly, partly because Chinese and Japanese scholars over the last 70 years have been coming in using the Institute, but also because in those cases, both those research cultures had very high regard for what we do in the British empirical way of doing history. And I felt it was important that we maximise those collaborations so that we can introduce their new generations of research students, China, South Korea, Japan, Russia, to a certain extent India, to some of the exciting new things that are happening in Western historiography. And so those are the collaborations we've been building, particularly with Chinese and Japanese universities. And it's all going very well, actually.